You are Locked On Pirates, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Pirates, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. My name is Jason Rollison. In addition to this podcast, you can find me primarily on the pages of BucksDugout.com and also at PiratesBreakdown.com. And let's get right into it, because according to Neil Huntington, who said on his radio show today, this is a pivotal week in Pirates baseball. And, of course, aren't they all? But this week, Neil Huntington kind of intimated in his radio show, and you can read my full recap at BucksDugout.com. But he intimated that this week will decide if the Pirates are going to be hardcore sellers or, you know, try to stay in this thing. At 41 and 47, you kind of wonder what he means exactly. So if his things not gone bad enough to this point, and correction, 41 and 48. So Neil Huntington is telling us that these next seven or eight games, that being a three-gamer against the Washington Nationals, and then a four-gamer, five-gamer, if you count the makeup game, against the Milwaukee Brewers, is going to be so pivotal to tell us if this team should be sellers or will be sellers. You know how I feel, and I think at this point I know how you guys feel, which is blow up the team, sell off the spare parts, get the young players up there and see what happens. So I don't think anything's going to change that. I think Neil Huntington, look, he even also mentioned in the radio show that this year is the farthest away from a playoff spot that they've been in this point in July in the past 6 or 7 years. So actually, I think he said 8 years. So you kind of understand where he has to come from, where he has to toe that company line, where he has to deal in that kind of generalities. But if you got him alone and gave him some truth serum, he would tell you his goose is cooked. I think he understands that. But nevertheless, they have to play the games, and you know, it's going to be tough. Three games against the Nationals, and then, like I said, those five games against the Brewers, including the doubleheader on Saturday. That's going to be awfully tough. And, you know, I think someone said at 4-4, I think Neil Huntington said at 4-4 is not going to cut it. They're going to have to win the lion's share of those games, and I just don't see that happening. Is there anything that you guys see that gives you faith that they could win 7 of 9, including today's win against the Phillies? So I guess they're on their way. Can they win 6 of the next 8? I really don't know, but if you feel otherwise, get me on the Twitter at JRollisonPGH. All right, so there's also something else going on right now, and it's not necessarily are the Pirates sellers or buyers. It's what I'm going to call hook gate, as in Clint Hurdle giving the hook to Jameson Taillon conceivably early in the game against the Phillies on Saturday. Very winnable game. The Pirates were up, I believe, 2-1 going into the seventh inning, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. Taillon fell apart a little bit, still exited the game at 77 pitches, pitching still very well, with a runner on base, which Edgar Santana allowed to come through. So all three runs charged to Taillon, and the Pirates go on to lose 3-2. So basically, was Clint Hurdle in the wrong? And if you listen to Neil Huntington today, again on his radio show, he had said that this is a classic second-guess the manager situation. If Hurdle leaves Taillon in and he gets through it, or if he brings in a reliever and the reliever gets through it, he looks like he made the right move. If he takes Taillon out, the reliever gives up the runs, which is what happened. Here we are second-guessing him. Or if he leaves Taillon in and Taillon also gives up the runs and the team goes on to lose, he second-guessed as well. So it was truly a no-win situation. I am not here to debate that. It was for Clint Hurdle. The no-win, absolutely not. But the reasoning that Neil Huntington gave, and he repeatedly went back to this, is that Taillon's splits, according to the times through the order, are not great. So if you're unfamiliar, times through the order penalty, that term basically means the more that a hitter sees the pitcher, the better the hitter is going to do. And it boils down to seeing a lineup once, twice, three times, and on that third time, historically, in baseball, both leagues, across the years, starting pitchers have fared considerably worse. So, since Neil Huntington was so adamant that this is the reason why Hurdle went out and pulled Taillon, let's take a look at the data, because it doesn't lie. All right, so we're going to quickly go through each starter, and those being Jameson Taillon, Ivan Nova, Chad Kuhl, Joe Musgrove, Nick Kingham, and Trevor Williams. And breaking news, as I say this, I just got an alert from MLB that Felipe Vázquez has been named as a pitcher for the National League All-Star team. So congratulations to him. Been a very up-and-down season for Vázquez, even if his numbers don't necessarily reflect such a roller coaster year. So if we take a look at Felipe's 2018 so far, he's pitched to a 3.47 ERA, backed by a 2.24 FIP, fielding independent pitching. So he really has righted his ship. The walks are way up, almost double, 4.2 per nine as compared to 2.4 per nine last season. Strikeouts are up a bit, 1.4 to be exact, 11.9 against 10.5 last year. I had written for Buck's Dugout recently that hitters were kind of not so afraid to swing at his stuff lately, but give him credit, he's kind of righted the ship a little bit. So someone had to go from the Pirates. That is still a rule. Not quite the Ed Sprague rule this year, as I think people will mention, because you can definitely make a case for these three Pirates players to be in the All-Star game, those being Vázquez, Cervelli, and Dickerson. So hopefully by the end of this podcast, we'll have the rest of the roster and we can announce that as well. So back to the times through the order penalty. Again, the more a hitter sees a starting pitcher, the better they'll do. So we're going to look at Taillon, Nova, Cool, Musgrove, Kingham, and Williams, the guys who have pitched the vast majority of the innings as a starting pitcher for the Pirates this year. We'll talk about Taillon specifically, but before we do that, I'll just give you some highlights. I'm not going to read you all of them, of the other guys in rotation, some peculiarities, if you will. And what I'm finding is that Ivan Nova has the weirdest times through the order split I have ever seen. And I'm doing everything with WOBA, weighted on base average, a good indicator of overall offensive production. And what I'm seeing is that Nova has a 362 WOBA the first time through the order, a 273 WOBA the second time through the order, and the third time through the order, a 385 WOBA. That's really weird. It's kind of flies in the face of conventional logic that he would be so bad at the beginning, so good in the middle, and then even worse at the end. And I think with Nova in particular, if his stuff isn't playing, you've seen it come out of the gate where hitters are just going to tee off. So that could explain like that first time through the order thing. Another peculiarity is Cool, who is bad across the board. 338 WOBA first time through, 342 second time through, 362 third time through. The other guys are pretty much the usual kind of split, except for two noteworthy things. Nick Kingham also has that Ivan Nova kind of split. 334 WOBA first time through, 201 second time through, the best on the staff actually among this group of starting pitchers. But then a 460 WOBA the third time through the order. Kind of expect that, right? You know, rookie pitcher kind of still getting a feel for pitching in the big leagues. Learning how his stuff plays and when it will play more specifically. So again, I'm not too surprised to see that. I am surprised to see that Trevor Williams has kind of the reverse of Nova. 264 WOBA, the first time through the order, the second time through, 379, pretty big jump. But then third time through the order, a 222. So quite curious there with Trevor Williams, who, at least to me, you know, just on the surface, seems like if he's going to get jumped on, he's going to get jumped on early. But how many times have we seen him settle down and get down to it and get through the order? All right, so before we talk to Taillon about Taillon, let's look at the team, the Pirates, Pittsburgh Pirates overall times through the order stats. Again, WOBA. They are 25th in WOBA the first time through the order of 316. They are 16th the second time through the order with a 313 WOBA. And they are the 17th best team in WOBA the third time through the order of 346. So this is a very common issue for the Pirates, and I think this is why you see Hurdle and Huntington being so rigid with pulling guys like Taillon when the third time through the order just is a specter of what's to come. So you can see the regimentality there, but that's another discussion for another day. So Taillon specifically, first time through the order, 289 WOBA. Second time through, 270 WOBA. Third time through, a 352 WOBA. So, yes, there is an increase there. In my opinion, if you're asking me, I would love to see Taillon kind of go through the fire a little bit with these. And Huntington kind of alluded to that as well. If the club deems that they are going to be sellers this year, which they should be already, then you might see things like Tyon sticking in the game, even though it's the third time through the order. You might see Colin Moran getting more at-bats against left-handed pitchers. Please, please. I think everyone wants to see that. You might see a little more juggling in the order or guys getting more bats over other guys. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, more interesting than you would think if you were listening to Huntington today on his radio show. So we'll have to see what happens there. Okay, but before we go any further, I want to talk about advertising on Locked On Pirates. So we are a semi-daily show, two or three times a week, and from that fact alone, coupled with our excellent rates, you really can get a lot of ROI for your business, or if you're a decision maker to business, you can get some of that ROI and slap that on the boss's desk and say, time for a raise. So get in touch with me. I'd love to walk you through what we can do for you, give you our rates, put you in touch with the right people. You can find me on Twitter at jrollisonpgh or on email at jrollison@gmail.com. So before we go any further, a little more breaking news for you. It appears that Felipe Vasquez will be the lone Pittsburgh Pirates representative in the Midsummer Classic. Dickerson and Cervelli have not been voted in, I should say selected, by Dave Roberts, Los Angeles Dodgers manager and selector slash manager of the All-Star roster this year. And truthfully, I think that's the right call. I think Cervelli and Dickerson are both not quite All-Star worthy. Of course, Dickerson has kind of lost his power stroke, but still getting on base and not striking out. Cervelli has missed some time here and there, as well as had a cool-down period earlier in the year. So, listen, both are having good seasons. Both still make it in with the last man in vote, whatever the hell they call it nowadays. So we'll see what happens. But that is the news right now as I stand here talking to you on Sunday, July 8th. We'll have to see what happens. I want to talk about Nick Kingham next because he rebounded today after a truly bad start back on July 2nd. And if you need a refresher, it was three innings of eight-hit ball where seven runs were allowed, five of them earned, three home runs, a nice trio of jacks there, only two strikeouts and three walks. So he had a bad start. No one should be surprised. He's still learning how to pitch, like I said earlier. But it was nice to see him rebound today with six innings of just quality ball, as well as his first two RBI of his major career. So you really, really like to see that. What I liked especially about his start today was the way he was mixing in his pitches. Yes, it's another pitch mix talk here on Locked On Pirates, surprise, surprise. But his second most thrown pitch today was a changeup. He threw 32 four-seam fastballs, 16 changeups. 11 two-seam slash sinkers, 12 curves, and 13 sliders. So he was all over the place a little bit, which is good. The curveball and the slider each got five swinging strikes. Slider got three called strikes as well. So this, to me, is a nice blueprint of what Pittsburgh Pirates pitchers should be working towards going forward. And what I especially liked about the pitch selection was that the Pirates preach about predicating everything on fastball control, right? Okay, so Nick Kingham threw 12 first-pitch four-seam fastballs today, but he also mixed in three sinkers, four curveballs, three changes, and two sliders. So, and all but two of those breaking pitches came on the second time through the order. Or I should say non-four-seam fastballs anyway, came in the second time through the order. So it was good to see him start to mix it up and kind of get to the art of pitching. And this is all great because Nick Kingham is going to play a huge role next season, I truly believe. When you start to think about what the 2019 rotation might look like, you might not think necessarily there's a spot for Kingham. And right now, if it was today and everyone was healthy, the club is so centered on Musgrove as a starter that there's not a spot for Kingham. But I feel as if towards the end of the year, maybe some things will play themselves out, maybe Chad Cole's injury will be severe enough for him to miss some time next year. Maybe Von Nova will be dealt. Maybe Trevor Williams could be dealt or relegated to a bullpen role. I think if Nick Kingham continues to pitch well, I think he might force the Pirates' hand. Of course, he is out of options. He had a fourth option year this year. So that plays into it as well. Let's not kid ourselves. But I like what they're doing with him right now. I think he needs to stay up for the rest of the season. Because if the Pirates decide to become sellers, it's not necessarily who they can trade and what they can get, it may be opening room for guys like Kingham to get that regular playing time, and Newman and Kramer and that kind of thing as well. So, with Nick Kingham in particular, everything from here on out is going to be something comparable to what Tyon did in 2016. If you recall, Jameson Tyon came up, had success, shut down with a shoulder for tape, but then stayed in the rotation the rest of the year. And I think that foundation gave him a lot of confidence going into 2017 because, let's be very real, for a starting pitcher to be successful, they have to have a certain level of confidence. And you build that up through reps, you build that up through innings at various levels as they come up through an organization, and now you have to build it up through major league innings. Nick Kingham needs major league innings. There is just no two ways about that. Racking up innings in AAA is not going to help him any further. They're just not. So I think that, the lack of an option year, uncertainty in other spots in the rotation, and maybe they even add Musgrove to the bullpen. Maybe they get real with themselves and figure out a new role for him in the bullpen where he seems to excel. Maybe all that conspires to put Nick Kingham in that rotation next year. I truly feel that he's got a great spot lined up for him in this organization over the next couple of years. He's not going to be the frontline starter that many thought he might be when he was first drafted. He will be a solid mid-rotation starter, I truly believe. We'll see if that plays out. You know, feel free to write this down and tell me about it later. But if the Pirates feel anything similar to the same way, they need to have him in the rotation the rest of the year, bottom line. That's going to do it for today's Locked On Pirates. We're going to come back to you two more times this week, hoping to get back into some guest appearances on Locked On Pirates. It's been kind of stale in that regard over the past couple days, past couple weeks. But I really, truly appreciate everyone out there listening. Last week, we had our highest, downloaded, listened to episode. Either way, it was our highest numbered episode that we've done so far, that being our open letter to Neil Huntington. I hope you enjoyed it. And that gives me great faith that we can continue to build this. Podcasting is, you know, something that doesn't come particularly natural to me, but hopefully I'm giving you some value in addition to the stuff I write at bucksdugout.com, which I would love for you to check out. You can find me on Twitter at jrolsonpgh. And thanks. We'll talk to you soon.